We've been gone for a couple of weeks, Ridgecrest the first week, and on vacation last week, so it's very nice for us to be home, and especially it's Christmas, getting prepared for Christmas. We're just excited to be together this morning. A few announcements we'll make as we get started. Well, there's more than a few, and there's actually several, so hold on. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take those pew pads, write your name down, give us contact information, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that last person, once you're done, send it back to where it got started. And then the first person, when it comes back to you, I'm still in vacation mode. I'm still... rip it out so that the ushers can come by and get that. Matt, I need for you to do announcements, so I need you to come up here. No, I'm just kidding. Other things we want to draw your attention to, we are having Walk Down for Missions next week. Make note of that. Our Christmas missions offering is taking place. We have collected $3,655 already for our Christmas missions offering. We had a great time this morning with the girls and the GAs and their leaders, having a great time. And the RAs are going to be raising more money this Wednesday evening with their Lottie Moon Pies. So you come and help support the GAs today and the RAs on Wednesday as they are raising money for missions. Steve Loftus is doing a Bible study on refugees starting this Wednesday night. Opportunity there. We have a rose that's placed here, a celebration of the birth of Madison Adele Kiger. That's exciting. Daughter of Brad and Lindsay Hobson Kiger, born November 18th. That's a great thing, and we're excited for the family. What a better time of year, Thanksgiving, and we are excited with them. Let's see, are there any other? We are having children's time today. At some point, we will fit that in. We will get everybody, invite all the kids to come on down and meet with me for just a few moments. I'm getting there. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning, and we have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We'd like to give us your information. We'd like to give you some information. If you are a guest this morning, just raise your hand right where you are. The usher is going to recognize you, and they're going to give you a packet of information. Inside that packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation, and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Miss Barber, come on.
I just wanted to report that the mission team that you sent down east did you proud. We had a very successful little project that we did. We actually got to do the last tear out and the first rebuild for where we were, both in the same place. We'll give you more information about that maybe in January, where we'll have a presentation of some sort. But before we went, I told you that sometimes families have little things that are just special to them, and they want to keep them. And even if it gets damaged, they still want to keep it. But maybe we could clean it up and give them some hope. Well, sure enough, the family that we helped had a little pig that needed a little loving. So we cleaned up her pigs and a bunch of other stuff and gave her hope and a way to feel like she was going to be able to restore her house and be in good shape and get her life put back together. So we were a blessing to her. She was a blessing to us. And we were very appreciative of your prayers supporting us while we were there. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbie. It is especially good to be together as we prepare for Advent, as is our custom. We have the lighting of the Advent wreath, that we have families from our church that come and be to lead that for us, and we'll invite the Pattersons to come now to be a part.
For the Old Testament passage on this, the first Sunday of Advent, I will read from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness.
I'm reading from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant to you be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Esaias saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Today, we light the candle of hope. Thank you.
Singing glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Angels singing glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Angels singing glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Angels singing glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah.
That doesn't get you in the mood to worship, something's wrong with you. Let's pray together. God, we just thank you. We thank you for the ability we have just to wake up every day and to sing your praises. Father, that's why we're here, to gather corporately, to sing praises to your name. Father, we also were ready to hear from you. So speak to us, Lord, if you haven't already through the musicians this morning. Father, we're ready to hear from you as we celebrate who you are and your coming to this world. Father, we just love you and thank you. Let us continue to worship you now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh,
right, invite the kids. Come on down. There they come. All right. Come on, bud. It's good to see y'all this morning. Everybody good? Everybody's good. Okay, I have a... Y'all, take a field trip with me. All right? Come on up here. Yay. Maybe Jeff won't mess this up. Okay. Y'all crisscross applesauce right there. Say hey to everybody. All right. Who are y'all staring at? Y'all supposed to look at me. Well, don't be staring at them. Look at me. Look at me. Does anybody know what this is? Advent wreath. And it's got pretty flowers and some candles here. And does anybody know why we have this here? Dude, you rock. Absolutely. The four Sundays before Christmas. Do you realize we have four Sundays before Christmas? Oh, I know. Does that make you excited? Well, every Sunday, we light a different candle. Every Sunday. Today is the candle of hope. Now, that's such a funny word. What do you think hope means? What is it? It's a hard definition, isn't it? What does hope mean? We still have hope. That's exactly right. Hope, you know, you haven't seen something yet, but you know it's coming. Right? You hope. That's what Jesus is for us. Jesus came to show us how much he loves us, and he's coming back. Now, we haven't seen him yet, have we? But he came to show us how much he loves us. And we have hope that he is who he says he is, that he was born in Bethlehem, and that he loved us so very much that we can trust him. Hope is knowing something without seeing it. Hope is knowing it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. It's going to, but not yet. That is such an important word for us. As believers in Jesus, hope is everything. Pastor Raymond is going to talk about that word. You and I have hope that Jesus is all about Christmas. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Yes. Dear God, thank you for the hope that you gave us in Jesus to show us how much that you love us and that you will never leave us alone. Thank you for that gift and thank you for that hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seats now.
as Jeff said, hope is a word that's kind of hard to define, but it's a word we probably use several times every day. I hope it doesn't rain all day. I hope I pass that math test tomorrow. I hope you feel better. I hope you get a good doctor's report this week. All of these hopes are important, relatively speaking, but the most important hope of all, as Jeff has said, is our hope in Jesus Christ. May we pray. Dear Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and on this Sunday of hope, we're certainly thankful for the hope that we do have in Jesus Christ. You have blessed us in so many ways, as individuals, as families, as a church family. Help us to share those blessings with others. This fall, as we have shared with our neighbors across the state, I pray that we have given them some hope, where many probably had lost all hope, having lost almost all their material possessions. And as we shared water and food and other necessities, I pray that we also share with them the hope that we have in Christ. Bless our gifts that are given today, and may we continue to give of our tithes and offerings as we also continue to share with people in our community, across our states, and other parts of our world. May these gifts help to spread your word and the hope that we all have. These things I pray in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you.
can't get set for the next thing. Huh? Very festive today. Very festive. Hey, choir. Well, good. Becky alluded to the, and Barbie actually spoke to the mission that's going on down east and how we continue to support and encourage there. I want to let you know, even though we haven't sent out an email or anything this past week, we do have a truck that's going down this week. We are basically going to use a lot of the funds that were given. Many of you gave funds. Other of you brought food and food and food and more food and water and supplies and all of that. And so we sent all those supplies down, but we want to get that money spent and get it down there and get it in the right place. So we knew that we had White Christmas going on and you were bringing for that and everything, so we didn't want to overload you. But just so you will know, we do have a truck that's going down this week. Josh Hooser is going to take truck down, I think, on Friday, load on Friday, and we'll be getting food from the food bank. And I think there'll probably be about 4,000 pounds of food and another couple thousand pounds of water, as well as warm items. We order wholesales, toboggans, scarves, gloves, and socks. And so those will all be going down to Grifton this week. So I wanted to let you know that because, you know, we get in, you know, as we mentioned before, sometimes as these mission projects go on, they kind of lose energy because we've been doing it so much. And it continues on, even though we haven't talked about it this week, and we'll be doing that probably the next couple of weeks or so, and then after the first of the year, we'll be giving you an update of what their needs are, and we can continue on. But we continue to do good work. And as Becky said, we do offer hope. As Barbie and them put hands and feet on it this week, we do offer hope. And that's not just this season. That's part of who we are, and I'm really proud to be a part of this congregation who does a great job offering hope to people in our community as well as down east, other parts of the country and the world. This is the Sunday of Hope, and as we look at this candle, we did really kind of an interesting experiment at the 9 o'clock service, kind of spontaneous. We turned out, caught our tech people really off guard, okay? Just say, Jeremy Cobble steps up and says, let's just turn out all the lights. Well, there's a lot of lights that are specialized, and it's not a matter of just hitting a switch, but we took the lights down and just looked at the one candle that had been lit. It was a really kind of a neat, I won't say experience is where I'm looking for, I guess, to sit and look at that light, that one candle, and how it offers so much light in a dark world. And so that gives us an understanding of who we can be. You know, if we want to reflect, if we want to be the light of Christ, we truly can make a difference. I heard this week a quote from a popular talk show host who she shall remain unnamed. This is what she said. I wish you'd quit hoping. Hope is no more than just delaying disappointment. What a sad, sad person. What a misinformed, pitifully misinformed person. Hope is no more than just delayed disappointment. But before we get too high and pious condemning her words, let's think back a couple weeks. Back during our fall emphasis, during our stewardship emphasis we entitled Enough, we talked several Sundays, if you'll remember, about how people attach their security, insert hope, to their financial bottom line. You really don't have to look any further than the commercials this time of year. Yeah, I saw one the other day. It was used the song More, 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 which was popular from, I guess, the early 80s. More, 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 how do you like it? How you like it? More, More, More. And it was a Walmart commercial, and it showed the doorbell kept ringing, and they go and they get more stuff, and the doorbell ring again, and they go, and the song's playing in the background. And it's not subliminal. It's pretty much in your face that you need to buy more, more, more in order to be happy, happy, happy. You know? And so that, as we've said over and over again this fall, that is the prevailing culture in which we live. And the security attached to that, the sense, the false sense of security attached to that is really kind of frightening. You say, well, Raymond, what's really the problem with it if it's harmless? Well, number one, it's not harmless. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, that word enjoyment there, do not misunderstand. It's not talking about frivolous, trivial pleasure. That's not what it is more accurately translated. It's more the enjoyment of our needs, more necessity than just frivolity. And you say, well, okay, but before we start throwing stones at those who buy a lot of stuff, maybe it's good for us to look at what is real hope about? What is real? That's what we kind of been gathering in worship, and our theme has been today. Wednesday night, we talked about several aspects of hope. And I'm not going to rewind all of that, but just to say that if you missed Wednesday night, you missed a really good Bible study. Maybe you could be here this week. Yes, Steve is going to be doing a foreign mission study for this Wednesday night. Wednesday night's a good time to be together, but Wednesday night, we talked about hope. We talked about different aspects of hope. So I'm not going to replay all that. I just want you to understand what we took away from that. One of the things was that hope is a verb. Yes? Yes? Yes, hope is a verb. Hope is also a noun. Yes? Yes, hope is a noun. And I would also say hope is a proper noun. Do you get the significance of that? Hope is a proper noun. You see, as we begin this season of Advent, it's important for us to understand the nature of why we have hope. To fully understand Advent hope, I think we need to rewind about 7 months ago. 7 months ago, I preached a sermon at Easter time. It was entitled, "Which is More Important, Easter or Christmas?" Do you remember that? Somebody please say yes. Okay, good. I feel affirmed. Thank you. Thank you. It's your little contribution. Which is more important, Easter or Christmas? And that sermon is on our website link in Vimeo, but let me continue my line of thinking from that sermon, because you see, sometimes we are guilty of trying to disconnect Easter and Christmas. Let me tell you how we do it. And Mary and I laugh about this all the time, but in 9 o'clock service, there from time to time people have suggestions of songs that the band might play. Just as you might have a suggestion for Mary about, oh, I love it when the choir sings so and so. Or can we sing this hymn? We haven't sung that in a while. Well, as it happens, I had two suggestions this week for songs to play in the 9 o'clock service. And one was an email, one was a text. I replied to both of them. I said, those are wonderful songs, and we'll be glad to play them maybe January, February, something like that. Because both of the songs, it was really heavy in the language of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection and glorious, and which is a great message. But my thought was, let's get the baby born first before we crucify him. I mean, and so in this time of the season, in the Advent season, we really try to focus on songs, hymns, scripture passages that focus on the leading up to the first Advent, the prophecies of the Messiah, the songs that relate to that. Okay, so in our own way then, we're actually kind of disconnecting the two, but not really, because we know where we're going to lead through the church year. You know, this Sunday, Advent, as we talked about last week, this Sunday is the first Sunday of the church year, the liturgical church year. Okay, and from this point, we'll move forward. So we'll get to those Easter songs. We'll get to all of that. You see, but in this time of year, at Christmas, we also do this. We want hope. And we want joy, which is next week's theme, and you know, and we want, or 2 weeks from now, and then we want peace, which is next week. You know, we want all of those things. And as we celebrate the coming of the baby king, baby Jesus, as we want that message to ring out, A lot of times what we don't want, and we're afraid to say it, we don't want that image of the looming cross to cast a dark cloud on all the celebration. You know, you don't want to be Debbie Downer, right? I mean, it's like, oh, don't be that girl, you know? And the idea is, why should we concern ourselves with why the king must die when there's so many parties to go to? And bright lights and glitter and tinsel and so many presents to buy and open and open and open. Why should we think about that? Pastor, just let me enjoy the party and we'll worry about Good Friday and Easter later. Yeah, I get that. I understand. And yet the hope of Christmas is not in the glitter and the lights and the parties and the presents. The hope of Christmas is the hope of all mankind. It's the presence of Jesus. It's the presence of Jesus. And from the very beginning, from the first prophecy, the intent was very clear. Jesus would be the Messiah. The Messiah. By virtue not of the miracles he performed while he walked here on earth, although those are certainly indicators of its power. But he is the Messiah by virtue of the fact that he was the sacrificial lamb. He was the perfect substitute. He was the perfect Lamb of God given for our sins, given for us. And why? Why? Why did God give? Scripture tells us why. It says, for God so loved that he gave. So why did he give? Because he loves. Because he loves me. Because he loves you. He gave. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. That was the plan from the very beginning. God would give out of his love for us. In order to restore a broken relationship, in order to restore a broken relationship that guess who broke? We did. The broken relationship was because of our selfishness, and God knew that he would give out of love in order to restore that broken relationship. And if we attach our hope to anything else short of God's love and God's forgiveness, then we fall miserably short, not only for ourselves, but for all of humanity. Jesus truly is the only hope for us. Hope is a verb. Hope is a noun. Hope is a proper noun. And his name is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging power of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Because of the love of God and the faithfulness of his Son, we have a high priest who intercedes continually because we need it on our behalf. And on the day of judgment, he will intercede again. And he will say, this one is mine. That one is mine. That one is mine. That one is mine. You see, the Messiah wasn't just to die. He was to be resurrected. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding daily on our behalf. He is our hope. Nothing else will suffice. Everything else is temporary and destined to fail. So what then do we do with this knowledge? We pass it on to a hopeless world. Have you ever taken time to look at the face of people? Really look at their faces. This time of year, yes, it's a time of hope, but it also is a time where hopelessness is accentuated. And it maybe it's because of the festivity that those who are hopeless feel it even more. We know, we have the knowledge of who gives hope. I challenge you this week, really look into people's faces, not in a creepy way, okay? Don't be that guy or that girl, okay? but really look into people's faces, and where you see hopelessness, offer hope. Whatever the Spirit leads, that it will be different, no doubt, in each situation. But listen to the Spirit as he leads you to offer hope to people who need it. And not just this week, not just during this season, but make this a part of what you do daily. Be an agent. Be an ambassador of hope for a world that needs to hear it. Because you see, children of the King, declare the hope of Jesus in this Christmas season, but also going forward, every day that you have an opportunity to. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Gracious Father, as we see the bright lights, as we see the candle, as we see all of this, it's a reminder of the hope that we have. And hallelujah, we have that hope. But Father, we know there are so many who do not. And if we really thought about it, it would break our heart. It would bring us to tears because there are so many who are searching, honestly searching for hope, and yet no one has told them yet. Yes, even in our world, there are people that do not know about Jesus unless it's just a curse exclamation. Father, we pray. We pray for strength. We pray for insight. We pray for what we need to see. And the courage to present it through your power and through your knowledge, through your wisdom of what needs to happen in whatever circumstance. God, we pray we'd be receptive to that and we would be obedient to that. God, we say we love you, and this is a good time of year to say it over and over again. But Father, help our actions to demonstrate what our mouth is saying. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do not have the hope that we've been talking about, this is a great day to settle all of that. I'll be here. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be right here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, But man, I've been living a life that's preoccupied with a bunch of stuff, and I'm letting everything kind of pull me down. This is your day to kind of renew that, to reset that, to have a fresh start. As we stand and sing, let that be your time for recommitment. You can do it right where you're standing and singing. I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like. Our altar will be open if you want to come here and pray. Whatever it takes to kind of reset and get that fresh start. Living in victory, living truly as a child of the King. If you're here and you say, boy, I'd really like to be a part of this church, I highly recommend it. I'll be honest with you. I don't think you'll find a better church anywhere. And those of you that have moved away and come back, you can give testimony to that as well. We're not perfect, but we would love to have you working with us, working alongside of us as we seek to give the glory to God. So whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Following our benediction, I'm going to ask you to be seated. We'll enjoy the response by our bells, and then we'll have you stand again. Greet one another as you go from this place. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, it truly is a day filled with hope. We pray that as we go from here, that we would be the kind of people that lean on you for understanding, that lean on you for strength and courage, Father, and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Be seated.